Praise God forevermore. So we're looking at guarding your heart. Glory to God. And Mark chapter 4, we'll be looking at guarding our hearts. And fundamentally, we've established what it really means. But then it's through repetition that truths are re-emphasized and absorbed in our hearts. Verse 13. It says, Mark chapter verse 13, know ye not this parable? How then will you know all parables? So Jesus gave a parable, and he gave a fundamental explanation about that parable in the sense that this parable is fundamental to understanding how the kingdom of God works. And then when the Bible says the kingdom of God is talking about that unseen realm, how does it work? And Mark is the most graphic illustration, even though Matthew teaches the same thing and Luke teaches the same thing, but we focus on Mark because of certain illustrations in which he used. And if you go all the way back to verse 3, it says, Akin, behold, the sower went out to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and divided up, and some fell on stony ground where he had no much earth, and immediately sprang up because he had no depth of earth. Remember, it is a parable. Now Jesus teaches a lot using what? Parables. And so a parable means it will require interpretation. You don't take a parable literally. You have to understand, what does it mean? So when he was telling in verse 13, don't you know this parable? How then will you understand all other parables? That means this parable is fundamental to understanding God's character, God's nature, and how God operates. The sower went out to sow. And then Jesus began to give the explanation that the sower went out to sow. The seed is the word of God. Hallelujah. Then we saw in the past few weeks that the seed is the incorruptible seed of God's word, that word lives and abides forever. Now, when it was mentioned in the epistles in 1 Peter chapter 1, how was it used? Because if you understand what the seed is, and the seed is the word of God, and how was it used in the epistles, you understand what he's trying to teach here, because he's giving you a picture about our Father God. The Father is the sower. Jesus is the seed, fundamentally. Now, from that particular passage, you can now pick several other lessons, because the same principle permeates the kingdom today. Now, the seed was sown in your heart when the gospel was preached unto you. You believed. And when you believed, you became saved, or you became exactly what the seed mentioned, or what the seed stands for. That's what happened. Who sowed the word? The Father. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the word that the word gave. That is God sowing. Hallelujah. He sowed the Son. His Son is the word. So Jesus is saying, fundamentally, when you understand this parable, that when we're talking about the sower sowing the word, we're talking about how the kingdom of God works. So every other thing you want to do when it comes to operating the supernatural, it follows the same principle. It follows the same principle. The challenge, therefore, is not with the seed. The challenge is not with the sower. The challenge often is with the heart, where it is what? Sown. That's what he's trying to make us understand. So again, Proverbs chapter 4. Then we have Solomon, who is a preacher, giving us instructions. And see what it says in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. It starts by saying, my son, attend to my words. Okay, this is in the Holy Scriptures. Genesis, Malachi, we often refer to as the Holy Scriptures. Some of us refer to it as the Old Testament. But technically speaking, it's called what? The Holy Scriptures. Jesus never called Genesis, Malachi the Old Testament. He simply called it the Holy Scriptures. Hallelujah. Without Genesis, Malachi, there will be no Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There will be no epistles. So the reason why we have the epistles is because Genesis, Malachi requires explanation. The explanation is where we find the epistles. But before there's an explanation, there has to be fulfillment. So the fulfillment is what we find in the four Gospels. Hallelujah. So I just give you like a summary now. So in the Nobulas Academy, they will explain in more detail. So we have Genesis, Malachi, and then that is where the promise is what God will do. In the epistles, we have the explanation of what God has done. In the gospels, we see God doing what he said he would do. Say amen. So when you're reading Proverbs, now you're looking at the Holy Scriptures. So you're reading words of prophecy, inspired, things that God said he would do. So in verse 20 now, he's giving an illustration. My son, attend to my words. He says, incline your ear unto my sayings. Now, God's word in Genesis is no less potent than God's word in the epistles. Same word. Same person, same character, doesn't diminish in magnitude and potency. Same word. So the same way it was spoken in Genesis, the same way Abraham had it, the same way we hear the same word today. The difference is that we have the benefit of the written word. That it's written doesn't make it less potent. Glory to God. Doesn't make it less potent. It's still the word of God that liveth and what? Abided forever. So he says, my son, now attend to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. He says, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Now, Solomon is telling us instructions step by step. How do I get God's word to work in my heart? So I know now that the word of God is designed for the heart of man. Though the word of God is potent, the potency of the word will not be seen until it's planted in the heart of a man. So the heart of man, the potency of God's word, when they come together, will see the manifestation of God's will and what God wants to do. So the sower sowing the word, that's the Father. He gave his word, and that word is his son. So when Jesus said, if you don't understand this, you don't understand in that parable, that means if you go to Genesis, for instance, look at Genesis chapter 1. So you see, he's saying the same thing in different ways. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning. Who is the beginning? Who is the beginning? Who is the beginning? Somebody say God. You are right. But more specifically, who is the beginning? Okay. Who calls himself the Alpha and the Omega? Okay, so in the beginning. So you will not be wrong if you're reading Genesis chapter 1 and you say, in Christ, God created the heaven and what? Does it make sense to you now? Now, so if you read it that way, by the time we get to John chapter 1, it will not make more sense. So when you say in the beginning, that is in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, God created what? The heaven and the heart. Now, let me ask you a question. The heaven and the heart that God created in Christ Jesus, is it just the physical firmament that you can see, or is it also referring to the new creation? Thank you. Remember that 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17, if you don't know any memory verse, that one you should know. If any man be in, is a new creation. All things are, behold, all things are become. So why is he saying behold? Behold simply means, don't let that fact slip past your consciousness. Behold means, can you see what God said he would do? He has done. What God said he would do, he has done. The new creation. Behold, all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become what? New. What's the new? What God said he would do, that's the new. The one that will abide, that will need, it will not need to be refurbished. It can't be improved upon. So when you're reading Genesis again, in the beginning or in Christ Jesus, God created the heaven and the heart. Why did he do it? It says, and the heart was without form and void. That was why creation was necessary. It was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God did what? Moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be, and there was. Okay, so Moses is writing, and I will try not to go too much into much more, so I won't lose track of what we're looking at. But if you follow the series of teachings we've had in the past, we've explained Genesis in the light of the epistles. And one of the things we need to understand about this is that Moses is not talking about the cosmos and the environment. He's not talking about the land, sea, and air. He's using them as illustrations to explain what is not understood about God's creation. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved. And then God said, let there be light, and there was light. So what is he referring to as darkness upon the face of the deep? 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. I've discovered over time that when you're teaching God's word to a local assembly, you require many repetitions before the truth sinks in. So are you in 2 Corinthians 4? All right. Let me read from verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are what? Lost. Now, let me ask a question again. I want you to follow step by step as you're studying your Bible. In the beginning, in Christ Jesus, God created what? The heavens and the heart. So, is that the new creation? Is that the new creation? Okay. Only a few of us are saying yes. If you understand what I said, let me see your hand. If you don't understand, let me see your hand. Put your hand. If you don't understand, let me see your hand. I will start again. If you don't understand, let me see your hand. You don't understand it. Okay, sir. In the beginning, Jesus is the Alpha and what? The Omega. Now, the Bible is written in English. Well, it's not written in English. It was translated to English. So you require the text of the New Testament to explain the Holy Scriptures. So when you're reading, again, don't think he's talking about natural creation. Natural creation is evolved. But what Moses did is he took the story of creation and used it to explain what was not seen. which is what God said he would do ahead of time. He used that story to explain it. So here's what he did. So when it says in the beginning, that is a new starting. Something God is about to start in the beginning. So there's a beginning he's talking about, and he's using the beginning of creation naturally to explain what God will do in Christ Jesus. Are you following so far? So it says in the beginning. So if you put that beginning, who is the Alpha and the Omega again? So if you say in Christ Jesus, God did what? Created the heaven and what? The earth. So the heaven and the earth therefore cannot be the firmament that you see. The one heaven there stands for what is not seen, which are invisible personalities, and then what can be seen, which are visible personalities. Are we together? Now, Moses' language is this. When Moses speaks about heaven, in the Holy Scriptures, it was a way of referring to God. Anything above the heart was used to refer to what? God. Anything called earth is referred to what? Men. Remember, the heaven, even the heavens belong to the Lord our God, but the earth has he given to who? The sons of men. So again, look at it. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That is the gospel. That is the gospel being proclaimed by the mouth of Moses. That God's plan, listen carefully, was that heaven should be in the heart. If you're a new creation, is God inside you? So if God is heaven and man is earth, where is God right now? Where is God right now? So heaven is now where? In the heart. Is that simple? Does it sound complicated? Okay, so but when you read the Bible like an history book, you are in trouble. Because it's not a book of history, it's a spiritual book. Say amen. Amen. So when you hear him say, and the earth without form and void, he's telling you why Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 is. Why? Because the earth. So who is earth again? Thank you. It was without form and void, and darkness was where? Upon the face of the deep. So we're going to find out what does it mean by the face of the deep now. Then God did something, and the Spirit of God moved over the face of the deep. So let's assume, we're going to prove it shortly, that the deep is the heart of man. So the Spirit of God was moving, but nothing happened until God said, let there be what? Light. So let me say it again. Where are we? Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning, God's plan was for heaven to be in the earth. That's the gospel. And that will happen in Christ Jesus. Yes? Amen? Good. So why did God want that plan? Because heaven and earth were not together. Or God and man were not together. And God's plan is that God and man should be what? Together. Glory to God. Are you following? Good. So, go back to that 2 Corinthians. If our gospel be hid, verse 3, it is hid to them that are what? Lost. In whom the God of this world has what? Blinded minds of them which believe not. Lest the light. Remember where we're coming from. God said, let there be light. So, you are using 2 Corinthians chapter 4 to explain Genesis chapter 1 so you can make sense. This is why we call Genesis to Malachi mystery. That requires what? Explanation. It means there are many things written there. You cannot take them literally. You cannot. Exodus will tell you that God appeared to Moses in the burning bush. Stephen will tell you in Acts chapter 7 and an angel was the one talking to Moses in the burning bush. Are they both correct? Yes. It was God speaking to the angel. It was an angel that appeared in the burning bush. God is not the burning bush. The burning bush was to get Moses' what? Attention. Did he get the attention? Yes, he did. So you need to understand that they are not at variance with each other. They are to explain what? One another. So that whatever you didn't capture in Exodus, you will capture in the epistles. So, why was there darkness upon the face of the deep? Look at 2 Corinthians. If our gospel be thee, is written that are lost. In whom the God of this world has won, blinded the minds of them that believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is what? The image of God should shine. Now, let me ask a question. How does the light of the gospel shine? Is it not true men preaching? So, good. So, when God said, let there be light, and there was light, what does that imply? What does that imply? What did we find in Genesis 1:1 again? In the beginning, in Christ Jesus, God created the. So the new creation, is that the message? Is that the gospel? So when God said, let there be light, can we say the gospel was preached? And there was light. Are you following? Now, John's Gospel, chapter 1. It's interesting that this is not part of my outline. Oh, Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. John's Gospel, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So notice, in the beginning. Every time the Bible uses the word beginning, listen carefully, it speaks about before the activity of men. This is God's plan. Let me say it again. I said it during midweek service. Salvation is not a reaction of God. Salvation is not something God thought about because man sinned. It's not a reaction. Salvation is a proactivity of God. It's a plan that was in motion before Adam sinned. Do you understand that? So God was not reacting. That's important. It's not God said, let us not go to plan B. No, there was a plan A that couldn't fail. So if man messed up, God will still not mess up. That explains why in the garden, in code, after they sinned and they tried to cover themselves, God came in without them asking for a covering. He gave them a covering because before they acted, he planned. I hope you understand. So God is never surprised. Now, this is important. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. There was nothing made that was made without Him. All things were made by Him. And not supposed to be without Him. In Him was one life. And the life is what? And the light shines where? In darkness. That's the gospel. The light is shining in the darkness of men's heart. And the darkness could not what? Overcome it. Now, verse 9 now says, that was the true light. The same one announced in Genesis that lights every man. How do you light every man? Every man will be given the opportunity to hear the gospel. Because the gospel is the light of God. And when they are hearing the gospel, the Spirit of God will move upon their hearts. The same way the Spirit moved upon the face of the deep. Glory to God. Which is a prophecy. So, the gospel preached is light coming a man's way. If that gospel is it, it is it to those who are lost. What does it mean for them to be lost? Those in whom the God of this world has won, blinded their minds. Praise God forevermore. You understand so far? So, now, go back to that 2 Corinthians. Now, when I'm reading 2 Corinthians, when I'm reading this part of the explanation, I remember why Stephen was stoned. When he did miracles, nobody stoned him. When he healed, nobody stoned him. When he began to explain the scriptures, they picked up stones. Because in his explanation, he made a complete rubbish of what they had believed in entirely. In fact, while he was teaching, he sacked the high priest. While he was teaching, he sacked the high priest. 2 Corinthians 4, are you there? I'm going to read from verse 6. So it says, for God who commanded what? The light to shine out of, where is that found? Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. Are we together this morning? What did we find in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2? The earth was without form and void, and darkness was where? Upon the face of the deep. What did God do? And God said, let there be light. What happened as a result? There was light. Now, if you're reading Genesis, what does it mean for there to be light? Heaven is now where? In the earth. Glory to God. Say, I'm a new creation. Heaven is in me now. I'm the earth that God spoke about. And heaven has come into me. I'm a new creation. God's plan has been fulfilled and delivered through me, a new creation. So God cannot be far from you. He can't be far from you again. Even if he wants to be, his substance is in you. He's in you to father you. Hallelujah. That's important. So he says again, he says, for God will command the light to shine, that guys are shine where? In our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glorious gospel, okay, of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's what he has done. So Genesis 1:3 has been fulfilled. Genesis 1:2 has been fulfilled in the resurrection of Jesus. That's what he's saying. So when you hear the sower soweth the word, Jesus said, if you don't understand this parable, how will you understand other parables? Well, when he said the sower soweth the word, it is the same thing as saying, for God so loved the world that the one gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth. Okay, what did Mark just tell us? The sower soweth the word. Some fell by the wayside. He began to explain what does it mean for you to fall by the wayside. Some will hear and not understand. And then immediately the enemy comes and what takes away what was planted in their heart. So he shows us the variable nature of the heart of man. Because Jesus said, God gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth on him should not want perish. That means not everybody will believe. Why? Because of the variableness in the hearts of men. Now, that is basically what he's teaching. He's teaching about salvation. But within that concept now is the concept of everyday Christian living. You began in the Word. You were born of the Spirit. It's the marriage of the Word and the Spirit that give you birth. So your continuity also is determined by the same Word that brought you forth. Glory to God. And the same situation abides because your heart here is not talking about your spirit. No. Your heart there talks about your constitution, your intellect, your will, your emotions that requires God's Word. In fact, it is that state of your heart that we use to measure spiritual growth. Your spirit doesn't grow. You have the Spirit. The Spirit of God grow. The Spirit is the Spirit of God. So when we say your heart, it's talking about your innermost constitution, your persuasion, your convictions, your leaning, your slants. That's your heart. That's where God's Word is needed to be planted for there to be the change that the Word of God promises. Isaiah 55. And I'm going to read from verse 7. It says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man is what? His thoughts. Now, so unrighteousness is a function of what? A way of thinking. Do you understand that? So there's a way a man is thinking that the Bible calls unrighteous. So before there's an action, there's what's a way of thinking. And it says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, he will what? Abundantly pardon. Since we're looking at the Word of God in light of the gospel and salvation, it means let the sinner return to God, and God will have what? Mercy. Now see what it says again. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. What thought did we just read in Genesis 1? In the beginning, God's plan was there to be heaven where? In the heart. That's God's plan. Let me say it again. It's not for earth to come to heaven. It's for heaven to be in the earth. Now, the illustration I'm using are simple, but they are very important. What does it mean for earth to go to heaven? It's for man to be accepted by his works. But when heaven comes to the earth, it's for man to obtain mercy by God's works. Are you following this morning? So your thoughts are not my thoughts because your ways are not my ways. So when it comes to your thoughts, you're thinking you should do something to come up. I'm doing something to come down. What are your ways? You want to bring sacrifice. What are my ways? I will offer the sacrifice. Can you see there's a difference? So let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man, what? His thoughts. Let me ask again. In Genesis 15:6, the Bible says, and Abraham believed God and was counted to him for what? Righteousness. So, what did Abraham believe? What did Abraham believe? Because when you use the word believe, it is implied that something was spoken, and whatever was spoken was heard. Faith comes by hearing. So, God said something, Abraham had, and Abraham's response was what? To believe. And then when he believed, it was counted to him for what? Righteousness. So, what did Abraham hear in Genesis 15, verse 1? Remember where we were at. The sower sowed the word. So God has been doing this thing for a long time. Only from Genesis, Malachi, the manifestation of the seed was promissory. It was given his word until the same word he spoke to Abraham, he spoke to Moses, he spoke to Isaac and Jacob and Noah and Abel, until that word now put on flesh. But the potency did not reduce. So Genesis 15. After these things, the word of God came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield, and I what? Exceeding great reward. Now, has Abraham believed God before? Well, yes. Why is it being recorded now? God gave further clarity to the promise. Look at Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Just follow me this morning. Now, the Lord had said, pay attention to that phrase, past tense. He had said to Abraham, he says, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Let me ask a question. Did Abraham know where he was going? He didn't know where he was going. Okay. So it's a land I will show thee. That means when you step out, I will show you. There's no definite time. Please say, I will show you. So look at the next thing. And if you understand what that land means eventually, you know, the reason why I said I will show you is because it's not a physical land. Abraham was used to Mesopotamia. He knew those areas. He was living in all of the Chaldees. That's where he came out from. So a land I will show you means a promise. I'm promising you something. If you believe the promise, I will consider you righteous. Are you following? Good. So see what it says again. I will bless thee. I'll make of thee a good nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I'll bless him that bless thee and curse him that curse thee. And in this shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed. Can you see that? Abraham, so did he believe? So go back to Genesis 15. Why are we in Genesis 15? Because we're in Isaiah 55. Hallelujah. I want this pastor, we're opening plenty Bible today. Yes. Glory to God. The more you understand, the better equipped you are. So after these things, word of God came unto Abraham in the vineyard, saying, fear not, Abraham, I'm thy shield, and thy what? Exceeding great reward. So that's what God said to him. And Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine here. Behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine here, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thine here. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, look now towards what? Heaven, and tell the stars. The minute Abraham was taken out of the tent to see heaven, God is no longer talking about physical seed. He's not talking about spiritual seed. So he used the natural stars in the heavens to explain the spiritual inheritance Abraham was going to receive. Hallelujah. Here, tell you, see what it says. Look not towards heaven. Tell this as if thou be able to number them. He said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord. And it was what? Counted to him for righteousness. So, how did God help Abraham to believe? He changed what Abraham was looking at. Abraham, you are seated in the tent. I want you to come outside to a broad place. And then look to the sky. And he said, can you possibly count? By the time you are counting one, what do you call those things? You're going to twinkle, twinkle, little star. So, astronomers, Isaiah astronomers say that they say there's no twinkling star. Amen. The star does not twinkle. How many of you stars don't twinkle? You don't agree? Okay. What you are calling twinkling is the intermittent appearance. It's not twinkling. It's your eye that is twinkling. Hallelujah. So God used a natural illustration to bring something home to him. Why? Seeing I go, and God is saying, I'm not talking about the fruit of your womb. I'm talking about nations. I'm talking about families. I'm talking about spiritual inheritance. What is God doing? Preaching the gospel to Abraham. What did Abraham do with what he heard? And Abraham believed God. What happened? It was counted for righteousness. All right? Isaiah 55 again. So where are we there? Verse 8 says, okay, verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way and the righteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have what? Men. So the word return means let him go back, let him stop pursuing his own plans, let him stop using works to get to the Lord, let him go back to God's plan. Notice what it says again. It says, he will have mercy upon him, and to our God he will abundantly pardon. So the wicked man, the unrighteous man, what does he require from God? Mercy and pardon. What do we have in Christ Jesus? Redemption, which is what? The forgiveness of sins. Are you following? So look at what he's saying. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. What are God's thoughts? You will believe God, it will be counted unto you for righteousness. That's important. That's important. It will be counted to you for righteousness. So you will not produce light. God will give you light. And the light will shine in darkness, and the darkness will not what? Be able to overcome it. It's the same principle. See what it says again. It says, for my thoughts are not your, neither my ways your ways, said the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and does not return either, but waters the heart, and makes it to bring forth and bud, notice, it will make it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be. That what? Word forth of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall what? Accomplish that which I please. It will prosper whereto I what? Sent it. So remember, the seed is the same quality. The seed doesn't change. The seed has been sown right from Genesis. Men kept hearing, but the response of men to the seed varies. That's what matters. So God has been sowing the seed by speaking the word, and then the heart that receives, and those some receive, some rejected the seed. That matters. Glory to God. So what we have therefore, when he says, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. He's telling you, how do you get the word to get to your heart? Because once it is there, it will prosper in that to which I have what? sent it. If it is healing, it will prosper in the area of your health. If it's protection, it will prosper in the area of what? Protection. If it's wisdom, it will prosper in the area of what? Wisdom. But what do you do? What's your labor? My son, attend to my words. Now, remember what we said also. Man, the nature of man abhors vacuum. If you're not listening to God's word, you are listening to something else. But there's no time you are listening to nothing. Not because you are consciously listening, but because information is all around you on a daily basis. Now, you may not know the information is influencing or shaping your decisions until you realize that the reason why you don't want to go to illustration purpose now to Ore is because you heard there's kidnapping going on. But you didn't have a problem passing through Ore until you heard, and you didn't know that message had an effect on you until you are adjusting your travel plans. And when you are discussing with friends, I don't think we should pass through Ore, you are making that decision because something has entered your heart. What entered? You heard. There was no problem with Ore until you heard it. Hallelujah. Here's the challenge. That they are kidnapping an Ore may not even be true. But you still heard it. And your heart is not selective as per seed. It's not. It's not selective about it. Why is it important that you guard your heart? Because the way to guard your heart is not by just putting an iron fence around it. The way to guard the heart is to ensure what is there is strong enough to withstand anything coming from without. That's how you guard your heart. Because, again, let me say it again, the information that is being filtered through media, all forms of media, for instance, will want access to your heart so that it can begin to control and dominate your actions. When they are reading out statistics, do you know that 75% of young ladies are now wayward? Start looking at your daughter, who is 13. Then, teenage pregnancies are on the increase. You look at your daughter again. What is happening? They are sowing seed in your heart without you knowing. Without your permission. They didn't ask for permission. God is now saying, when I want to sow seed, I need your permission. Because mine is not readily available. You have to take it from where it is and plant it inside. It will now preserve your heart from what? External what? Influences. Glory to God. When you hear the rate at which the mortality rate or age range is now 54. If you're not careful, you start thinking, if I can make 60. God forbid. Now, you don't know that there is a reason why you're making adjustments. Why you cannot think 80 or 90? There's a reason why you heard something. Because that's how the heart of man works. Jesus says, therefore, be careful how you hear. Don't think the hearing is harmless. It's not. It's not harmless. Something has been sown. Something has been planted. So why don't you deliberately choose to monitor what is being what? Planted. Consciously by yourself. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to the things I've been saying. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them where? In the midst of your heart. A man that meditates on angelic assistance and supernatural aid will find it easier to experience sorrow because that is what your heart is indicting presently. So when challenges come up in that area, you discover that what you are naturally expecting is not defeat. You are expecting God to come through in a big way because you've been meditating on how he came through and you know he's no respecter of persons. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus said something. Look at Matthew chapter 7. Don't try to build your house during the storm. The storm is strong enough to carry all the building materials. Hallelujah. If you ever live in a flooded region, and you want to build at that point in time, and it's a stormy season, you put material there one night. The next day, you go get there in the morning. All the material has been taken away. See what it says. Verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. Notice the word sayings. We saw that in Mark chapter 4, isn't it? Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. Notice, and doeth them. Now, a process has been skipped. Let me say that. A process has been skipped. One process that was skipped, to hear and to do. Between the hearing and the doing, there's a meditation. So, the person that heard and did. He's the one that kept hearing and stayed with the hearing until it translated to what? Action. Let me say it again. If you are a very hungry person, there's no such person here in Jesus' name. Because in Christ Jesus, you have temperance, you are meek, you are gentle. Amen. Amen. Is that you I'm describing? Okay. You are gentle, you are meek, you are good, you are temperate. Glory to God. I trust Jesus more than I trust you. And his testimony of you is my testimony of you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's important. So if you notice that you seem to be giving to anger or tantrums or sulking, none of them is good. When you say full grown man, who will not talk for 3 days because his wife offended him? Maybe they took your biscuit when you were young. Because whatever is wrong, just say whatever is wrong. You know, there's some men like that, they will now wait. After 3 days, you come and find out why I'm not talking to you. May they restore your biscuit. Because who is the child in the marriage? Who is the child? You are waiting until you come and ask that after 3 days. Why are you waiting for? How were you praying? What were you saying to God? I don't know what you were saying to God. You were keeping malice. I am even proud about it. When I don't talk to her, and there are some women, as we are keeping malice, they will whistle. They'll be confessing God's word. This is message. When you are ready. Because it's childish. So if you grew up that way, maybe your dad lived that way, or you grew up in an environment where he was encouraged and not discouraged, and you're still that way, there's a way to change that part of your constitution using God's word. I'm meek, I'm temperate, I'm kind, I'm gentle. Using God's word. The same way someone who gets easily angry in situations, this is how you react. You broken bottle. You raise your voice, you scatter everything. Start your provocation. What do? You receive with meekness the engrafted word. How do you receive? Incline your ear to my sayings. That is, start reciting Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. And the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace. I have peace, I have joy, I have meekness, I'm temperate, I'm gentle. You start with such so that until an image builds up on the inside. Remember, God says the word that I sent to you, it will prosper when I've sent it. So as you are inclined, God's word is sent to your heart, it will change your constitution. You just notice that this way you react in those situations, gradually starts what? Changing. If you're a cantankerous person, you know what means cantankerous? Argumentative, troublesome, always too quick to speak, instead of being slow to speak. What do? You start confessing God's word about being temperate. I'm slow to speak. I'm quick to hear. I don't jump into conclusions. Some people jump to more than conclusions. Their own conclusions is a moving car. They made plans, they've sealed it. I will never talk. I've called him for 3 days. I will never call him again. Before you make the conclusion, maybe he has been sick or down. And in some cases, the phone has even been stolen. But you have already made up your mind based on your own assumption. He's not picking my call. He's not picking my call. You don't know. But God knows. Hallelujah. So that means if you decide to walk in love despite what you think the person is doing, you may discover that you're being hasty in your conclusion. And yet the Bible says you are temperate, you are persevering, you are meek, you are gentle. Glory to God. You are. That's why in courtship, God gives you room to practice that with your intended spouse before you get married. Because marriage is forever, for life. That means that person who was stepping before, you didn't solve the stepping matter. You will keep stepping and continue stepping until you learn how to remove your shoes and your feet from where they are stepping. Why? Because you can reprogram your heart in such a way. You see, the minute you give natural excuses for your reaction way you do, you will never change. You hear what I said? You won't change. Take me as I am. We don't want to take you as you are. How you are like this is not good. We are not going to take you. We are going to watch you change. Say amen. Amen. And so if how you are is not good, we are not going to take you as you are. Because it's not helping us the way you are. We want to see Christ in you. The hope of glory. That's what we want to see. And the one of God is the only tool given to us that can bring out the nature of Christ in your spirit and cause it to affect your mind. So whatever is in your spirit can affect your mind, and the bridge is God's word. That's God's word will allow the same nature of God within your spirit to show forth in your conduct, in your actions. It's already there. But there's a reformatting of your consciousness that the word of God does. Praise God forevermore. It's important you realize that. James chapter 1, again. So what's with the word James chapter 1? And your behavioral traits that you'll have seen over time. You have seen over time. A couple, I had a discussion with them years back, and they had a crisis, marital crisis. And so the guy said, when we have issues and want to discuss, I would wait for her to finish. If it's going to take 3 hours, I will sit and listen to everything she's saying. That's a very patient man. That's a very patient. It takes patience to listen to a woman. Talk for long. It takes patience. Yes. It takes patience. When women want to just, have you noticed, they will tell you stories they've told you before. Only different versions. I've not told you this part. I've not really told you. It's like I've not told you this part. That in 1994, Sheung, my friend, you know Sheung. You know Sheung is our friend. You've heard his story. He said, no, but you didn't hear this aspect. Just keep quiet and listen. And God will help you not to fall asleep. God will help you. The father of the fatherless will help you. Not for, because if you fall asleep, it's cardinal sin. Next thing here is that, what was my last statement? I've been caught in mute a few times. My statement was, what was my last statement? What was my last statement? That's what you said. You fall asleep. Because that's wired into women to talk. Communication is an expression of love when it comes to women. Now, the man said, even if it's an hour, I listened to everything she said. Every time, when it was my turn to speak, every time I see a few minutes, she would interrupt. I won that the first time. I won that the second time. I won that the third time. I said, that's it, I'm done. She said, I'm very sorry. That means she couldn't control herself. I'm very sorry. I won't talk again. That's what she kept saying since. And she was still interrupt. But I listen to you, say everything you want to say. Why can't you listen and hear me out, say what I want to say? Because there's something inside I always, she cannot let it cool down. You know, she's still hot. I won't say it now. But I listen to you, everything you have to say. Now, that means she's not temperate. That's controlled. Now, when I say she's not temperate, she's not allowing that fruit to show. But it's there. What does a woman like that do when your husband is not around? Picture yourself sitting down, listening to everything, and not always instantly reacting. This being too quick to react is a problem. It's causing friction, and you know it's causing friction. No way you can be. Now, sometimes you've gotten to a conclusion without allowing him to finish what he's about to say, and you spoiled the whole thing. Because what he was going to say is not what you assumed he was going to say, but you just assumed. You're already reacting. You didn't wait for him to conclude. And that's where the problem is. And that was what was causing friction in their home. Continuously. And I noticed that about the lady that was true. So I just counseled and told her, you have to stop behaving this way. This man will not give you audience after a while. He will get tired. You will wear him out. Now, look at James chapter 1. See, I'm applying this as much as possible to every day so you can see where it works. Glory to God. You can see where it works. Verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart unfieldiness and what? Superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Now, a better interpretation of this is what he's saying, because in verse 18 he says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. That's the word of what? Reality. So what's the word of truth? The gospel that was preached, what God said that has now come to pass. We were born again by receiving that word. Verse 17 says, every good gift and every one perfect gift is from above and cometh down. Don't be graphic with that image. When it says cometh down, it simply means the gospel, the plan of redemption. It was God's master plan. And this is what God did. Every good gift. A better translation is every good giving. And within that giving, that gift perfects the recipient. When you see that in operation, it can only come from God. The one with whom there is no variableness in that word, shadow of, it doesn't change his mind. So, his giving is good in nature. And when he gives a gift, the gift he gave you will perfect you or make you exactly what he wants you to be. Say amen. That's what that verse means. It now says, of his own will. So he's emphasizing. He gave us back with the word of what? Truth. So verse 21 says, lay apart all filthiness as previous knowledge. Now that you are saved, now that he has gotten you born again, you are to lay aside all filth and superfluity of nothingness, and you are to receive with meekness the implanted word, or the word that gave you birth. Because that word, having saved your soul, or having gotten you saved, is able to renew your mind. Praise God. It's able to renew your mind. Let me say it this way. Why are you not walking fully in the supernatural? Not because you are not supernatural by constitution, but because you have not been receiving God's word in that area with meekness. To receive with meekness means that you are to submit to the authority against every other argument, even the one proffered by experience. Pastor, you don't understand. I prayed for so and so person. He was a member of my class and he died. What do we do when that happens? We march on. We keep marching on. The word of God is true nevertheless. Despite your experience, the word of God is still true. If you put a comma on God's word because of the experience you had, you're not going to move on with God. You're not going to move on with God. And that's what some people do. I prayed last week. I prayed 2 years ago. And from that time till now, I've not been praying properly to God because God did not answer. You're a baby. You know how children behave. How did I want meat pie? You didn't buy it. I will not play with you again. You're not my daddy. Are you still not the daddy? You will still pay school fees. My daughter is angry with me. The last one, she'll be frowning. She'll be frowning. I'll be watching her. She'll frown. I'm not sure she goes like, she'll come back. Daddy, I need data. Ah, I thought you were frowning. I thought we're in frowning territory. So, with the frowning, you can see us for data. When she comes back, Daddy, I'm thinking of what to eat. I'm like, I'm not the one who wants to eat. You're the one who wants to eat. Why should I be one thinking for you? And she's still frowning. I was like, is it funny? That means she has enough sense. Why frowning? To go and ask for data, that is like there's no data. That's the source of data over there. That's my data bundle. Let me go and ask for data. Even though she's still frowning. So that's how she be. That's how she be sometimes. Sir. Now the same way also, you are sulking. You child, you give me. And she doesn't say very funny things. I know I'm going again. I don't play with you. You are still going to come back later on. The same thing also. You cannot say because you didn't receive answers in a particular prayer point that therefore that means God is not faithful. No. His faithfulness is proven primed. Are you not born again? Are you not saved? Then God's promise has been delivered. Signs sealed and delivered. Glory to God. So if I'm not experiencing much in the area of healing, I need to hear more in the area of healing. If I'm not getting people baptized with the Holy Ghost, I need to hear more in the area of getting people filled with the Spirit. That's what I need to do. If I'm not getting people saved much, instead of trying a few times and falling flat on my face, I need to hear more from people who have been practicing. Let me say it again. Everyone who became productive with the word of God, they didn't try once or twice. They stayed with it. Kenneth Copeland said, the first night people were laying hands on, all died. I thank God that God didn't let me have that experience. When they say some of this, I'm like, it's like, God, you know those, you can try with that kind of thing. Some of us, we get this call, you're like, eh? Did you say they died? He said, yes, they died. So what did you say? I kept laying hands. So what happened? Say, after that, they started leaving. Now imagine if you quit at the first one, and there's 6-7. Let me give it to you. Now, what he meant by that was that, he didn't say God was killing them. He was saying that, when I tried, I didn't make the connection. There's a connection I ought to make with power. I didn't get it. I tried again. And I kept trying until I made the connection. In other words, the more I practiced, the more my heart yielded to God's word. Until, let me give an illustration. How many of us swim? You know how to swim? Let me say that. Praise God. There must not be Noah's flood again. Amen. We're not up to 5% in this local assembly that can swim. Now, here's where I'm going. I learned how to swim about 1990. How many years ago was that? And I went to UI staff club. I went to go and learn. And I sat by the pool. Looked like everybody was in. You play in the shallow waters. There's 6 feet. There's 7 feet. There's 10 feet. Verse 15. If you are wise. You hug the side of the pool for dear life. And you watch. You can wear your swimming trunk and just be watching. So I watch. I see this, permit language, all these small things. Jump into water. You just jump in, you just swim. I hear you are looking big. You are struggling with water. You just swim and go, Jump in. Me, I will not try. Nothing will happen. But what did I do that made me learn that? Because I learned how to swim in 1 week. I went every day. I would do what I see them doing. The frustrating part of it is that I would do what I think they are doing. The only problem, they are moving, I'm not moving. So it's annoying that, this is what you are doing, I'm doing. No, it's not what they are doing. It's what you think they are doing. They are not the same thing. Because if you do what they are doing, you will what? Move. So I learned something about, some people are laughing. They laugh not of guilt. You know I'm talking about you. Because I discovered that swimming has a lot to do with rhythm. Then one of the coaches gave me a tip. He said, I know you think you are doing what they are doing. And you are angry that like water is not cooperating. The water has no issues with you. It doesn't support them. He now told me, said, the action of your arms and your legs are canceling out unconsciously. They are meant to cooperate and propel you, but they are canceling out. But you don't know they are canceling out, but I can see they are canceling out. That's what I was doing. So I continued, I watched them until I got the rhythm. The same thing applies to driving. When I first started driving, I've seen people holding on to the steering for their life. Like, then when you want to talk to them, don't talk to me. Like, I cannot handle two things at the same time. When you first started, like, no, you are like, why are you talking to me? This talking, they cannot even answer you. They are in their mind, they are picturing the tongues, everything, the way they hold the two hands like this. Now, when you learn how to drive, when you're driving to your house, you're not thinking of your house. You're just going. That means it's coded in your being. That means your system has become conditioned to live that way. There's a conditioning to heal the sick. Where you are making connection all the time. I see, I've been ministering to sick more than once, and without touching them, I transferred God's power, and they thought it was magic. And I said, it's not magic. It's just a learning and a practice. Because it took a while to get there, but I eventually got there that I can transfer God's power to you where you are seated or standing by faith. It will get to you. And I'm not moved by the fact that the healing is not immediate. So you are still moved by the fact that, in fact, you are feeling embarrassed for pastor. This person should not come and shame our pastor. Just be quickly. Be healed now. Okay, say you are healed. Have you been there before? Then? What's all this kind of... Who invited this person to our church? Can't you just act like you are healed? Now, I make it more difficult. When I go to other church, I tell them, if you are not healed, say you are not healed. Don't help God. Why do I say that? Because I know God's power is sure. I don't know if you get it. I said, don't stay. I said, just stay. And I'm keeping listening to other people. And then when they get healed, they're surprised. So it's gone. It's not gone. Before, it was ready to excuse God. Because I asked, where is the pain on a scale of 1 to 10? He says, it's a 9. That's serious. I come back. Where is the pain now? He says, like a 6. And he's like, well, at least I'm getting better. No, so, hey, you know, you will get better. You'll be healed. Don't go. That is, it's not a guess game. Glory to God. It's not a guessing game. The power of God works. It can be scientifically explained. It works. See, God's power works in my life. It's not occasional. It's consistent. But it takes practice. That's where the issue is. Jesus said, he that heareth these things and doeth them, I will tell you what it's like. He's doing. Until conviction, persuasion, assurance comes. He knows that by reason of practice, this is the process you follow, but I'll get results. You know, Kenegan prayed and acted on the word to such a degree that in one prayer session, God told him, don't pray. Because if you pray, you'll get the answer. And I don't want you to get the answer. God said, don't pray. He said, no. The man must come and say, let him go. It's his best time for him to go. Don't pray, because God is afraid. Not afraid. God is like this man's prayer.
You notice God has said the effectual fervent prayer of righteous man. So a man has developed himself in prayer that God is saying, you know, please don't pray. Let him, he needs to stay home now, because the person was praying for somebody to come back home. They said that, don't pray, because this person is the best type. He has his house in order. I cannot guarantee if he comes back now that when is next time, the house will be needs in order. So please don't pray now. God can tell a man that. Why? God's word is infallible. It doesn't fail. He said, I stood on the word of God. And God told me, if you continue, you'll have what you want, but it may not be the best for him. Please, let him go. So you are pleading with God, and God is pleading with you. Let it go. Hallelujah. Because God cannot deny his word. He can't deny his word. Glory to God. He can't deny his word. So you can pursue God's word to that degree where he says, you hear and you do. When James chapter 1, right? Let's go back to Matthew chapter 7. Are you getting something this morning? And this affects every single area. If you are going to pay, listen carefully. If you are going to pay rent and your rent is by faith, if you are living in a house of 1.2 million, except your income bracket is usually some faith, particularly if you're a business person. Because you need faith for money to come in via the business, isn't it? But it's a bit difficult if the rent is due next month. What you need is not prayer. It's a miracle that you need. So, God's word can produce a miracle, fine, and prayer also. But we're talking about a process where you are practicing and you have seen God come through more than once. So if your rent is due next year, October, or next year, September, or August, what do you start doing? Start inclining your ear now and start saying that the money will be available before it is due. Start saying now. To start saying that at the beginning of August, and you are paying at the end of August, is fire brigade approach. You're under pressure, and you're trying to put God under pressure, and God is not under pressure. Have you seen believers who try to put under pressure? God, I think you are seeing. You can see. I will not be ashamed. You will not be ashamed. Go. Bro, you are the one who is about to be ashamed. God will not be ashamed. You are the one under pressure. What you should do is look for somebody. First, calm down. Be careful for nothing. That's the first scripture. You know you have messed up. Admit you have messed up. I don't know how you talk. People talk to God. You talk to God in this formal way. He's your father. And dear God, that lofty one that dwells in the clouds, that ancient, inestimable, what's all that? And he's looking at you, Shame. Are you not speaking grammar? are you not speaking grammar like this? He's looking at you. No. The way I talk to God, I say, Father, wow, I messed up. I know. I really shouldn't have done that. I should have handled that better. But help me. Help me. Just help me. That's prayer. Just help me. I need you to come through. Just help me. I know you love me enough to help me anytime. Just help me. Help me this one. I know I messed up. I'll do better next time. But this one that we're facing, help me. That's why I talk. I don't do, you know, start looking for Isaiah scriptures. It's not your father living inside of you. I don't know why people just start getting formal with God. Instead of you focus on God so loved. Now that he has so loved, he still loves me. Behold, O man of God, the Father has bestowed upon us, we should be called sons. What manner of love? I keep looking at that. I keep saying, Father, thank you. You know, there's nobody who wants to help like you want to help me. There's nobody who wants to assist. That is because I don't know why people, the minute they mess up, that is, it's your own fault. You still think they don't deserve mercy. You deserve it. You still deserve mercy. You mess up, so you think he will now turn his back on you? No. He is happy and excited that you came to him and he didn't go to man first. That's what trust is. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your understanding. Some people's understanding is tit for tat. God warned me. How many of us did he not warn? God warned me, I disobeyed. Therefore, I deserve. You better not say it. When it happens, you won't like it. God warned me. Yeah, he warned you. But you messed up. You are not the first. You will not be the last that he warned. He warns all of us. He tells us. Do we always get it right? No. Will he still help you? Yes. Hallelujah. He will still help you. He will still help you. He will still hit you. Glory to God. So let's read Matthew and start winding up. Amen. We have to continue next time. Are you getting something? I feel like you just continue. And I've not even looked at what I went to look at today. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Pastor, let's just continue. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 20. Where are we now? 24. Thank you, sir. Therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto what? A wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded where? Upon a rock. So building, which is to hear and to do, is building. Where is the foundation? In your heart. What will happen to your heart? It will be immovable, it will be rock-like, it will be like a fortress. Now, conditions will come on the outside, and those conditions, they may appear natural, but they have spiritual implications. Let me explain what I mean. There are situations that are natural in nature that have a spiritual connotation or a spiritual voice. An empty bank account will tell you help is not coming your way, that you cannot make it this month. A sudden unexpected expense outside of your budget can sink the ship of your faith. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. If you're a car owner, you know what I'm talking about. What did you say is wrong with the car? You have budgeted for the money. You have everything clear. Everything's on the paper. What did you say is easy? AC. I'm not just giving illustration. No. I'm telling my experience now. As of this morning, easy. Yes. My wife was like, "We just fixed the AC." I said, "That's how it is." Is that part of the budget? It's not on the budget. As I was seeing, I said, "My mind, I was trying to may not be more than so a month." Is it part of the budget? Part of the budget. Just came up. Meanwhile, you're on a faith eye. You know, you have faith eye. My God supplies all my needs according to riches in glory. But hallelujah. Then you get home. A letter is waiting for you from the landlord. We have now increased the house rent from 750. Now, they don't know why you are cranky. It's information that you just received. Because 750 was what you were using your faith to receive. They've added 150. It's now 900, which is even still fair, or they make it 1 million. Now you know that looks like, who did I offend? What is that? Guard your heart. Because 750 and 1 million, no difference before God. You just need to adjust your heart. Either hear it and do it, I will liken him to one who built his house upon a rock. The rain will still come. The storm will still blow. The winds will still come. But the house will be standing. And the second person, those that are here and do not, the rain will come. The storm will blow. The winds also. But the house will be. He said, great is the fall of the house. Why? There's no substance inside when the storm came. And the storm will come. The storm will come. Ballooning school fees. That's what I can call it. I said the other day, the school fees, I will pay for my daughter's school fees one time. From my primary school, like in university, we didn't spend that money. And it's worse one time. I didn't spend that money. The highest amount I ever spent in university was $22,000 for projects. It was big money. It took me months to believe for it, before it came. And I say in one time. And if you mommy scored the way, you didn't spend that money. That's what they are. And it's not necessarily going to decrease. That means you have to adjust your heart. It's an incorruptible seed. The seed will produce. Say amen. It will bring resources your way. It will open doors for you. So program your heart that it doesn't react negatively. Because before the change and the news came, a news should have been found inside the soul of your heart. To make it a rock. That God is your provider. Is your sustainer. Is your increase. Hallelujah. And is your desired harvest. That's what should have been there before the news came. So that when it comes, you're not moved. And guard your heart. For out of it are what? The governing forces of life. Out of it. So you watch what goes in. In order to control what comes out. So to incline your head means that you don't have to feel like listening to God's word. But there's a day you are going to need that word. So before the day comes, it's better to build when there's no storm. than to wait until storms come. So before there's a storm, start building by what? Listening, seemingly randomly. That's why I program my life such that I listen regularly, because you don't know when news will come that you're going to need. And that's not the time to start running around looking for building materials. At that time, it's too late. Glory to God. It's too late. It was in meditation one day, and I was praying and confessing God's word, that this utterance came up. The next 10 years, you heard me say it many times, I'll be sound, I'll be alive, I'll be well. The next 10 years, I'll be on every continent of the earth, preaching the gospel. In the next 70 years, sorry, not, by the time I'm 70, next 20 years, 70 years, I will not be here. I will have gone to be with the Lord. I'm not planning to be the oldest saint. I'm not planning to be. I have no intention. It's not my pursuit. So in the next 10 years, next 20 years, what am I doing? Now that I'm high in the spirit, I'm framing my immediate future of my words. The next 10 years, the next 20 years, I'll be flourishing. I'll be preaching the gospel. At 18, I will not need a king to stand. No, I'll be standing ramrod erect, preaching the gospel on every continent, holding meetings, getting men filled with the spirit, getting them to walk in the light of God's word. At 85, I'll be sound. The word of God proceeding from my lips, still changing lives, blessing generations to come and teaching them the ways of God. Why is that necessary? You're going to wait till you have 50? No, 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 no. You use God's word now to frame the future you want. Out of your heart will come what? The governing forces of life. The same thing applies to your business. In the next 2 years, I've been so level when it comes to the work of my hands. Kings will come to my business to patronize. You have to say it if you want to say it. Why? Whatever you're saying, remember, God's power can meet it and make it and bring it to pass. So you're not making empty boasts. You are trusting the supply of God's power, hallelujah, to make it a reality. Now, if God has given you a blank check, why don't you speak? And those who don't have that blank check, I am bolder to speak. And they call it positive speaking. We don't do positive speaking though. We do confession of God's word. Hallelujah. Because we our own confession is backed up by God's living power. Glory to God. That's what we do. You look at your children. Those times when you're charged up, you say, your brother, Jaden, you're a planting of the Lord. Everywhere you go, the rain of God's favor rests upon you. Men rush to assist you. You don't fail in life. Something about you makes you healthy and old and sound. Everywhere you go, you stand in the light of God's goodness and His favor, your testimony all day long. You keep saying those things until it becomes a law in their lives. That's what you do. That's what you do. Don't wait until you hear. There's polio everywhere. That's when you now start rushing to say, that one generally doesn't work because you're in a panic. I know. What are you doing? You're trying to build in the rain and the storm. It doesn't work. Now, confessions work when you are calm. Because you're speaking what you want to see when everything is right. Glory to God. Well, let's lift up our hands this morning and give the Father praise and thanks. Let's thank you for the rest of this year. The rest of this year, I'll be praising God. I'll be thanking Him. Testimonies will abound. In all that I will do, I will see increase. I will see prosperity. I'll walk in abundance. So much clarity in the days ahead. No confusion is heard concerning me. Only good things and testimonies. Or the Father's faithfulness attest to all that I do in the name of Jesus. I will prosper. I will experience increase and enjoying God's favor on every single side. For the rest of the year, I won't be sick. I won't be weak. I'll be strong. These are my best days yet. Better is the end of a thing. As we round up this year, the very best testimonies are waiting for me to unfold. They're waiting for me to unravel and to unpack. God's blessings abound in my life. Everywhere I look, I see God's faithfulness again and again. Whatever increase I never had from the beginning of the year, I will have it at this season in the name of Jesus. Because God is helping me and God has helped me. And I'm mightily helped of God. There's enough that God has made available for me to enjoy. And I enjoy His fullness without fail. Give Him praise and give Him thanks. It's worthy to be praised. 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 Father, we thank you. For the days ahead are days of increase for us. Yeah, there's darkness. Darkness is coming. Darkness is coming. More confusion will come for those who are in the dark. Esito, bledika, kate, sopokli, gidia, enough supply as made for those who are in the light. But let not the son of light, the child of light, put on the cloak of darkness. Let him stay in the light, proclaiming, I am in the light. I am in God's abundance. I am favored of the Father. And direction will come. Oh, no matter what confusion is pressing upon those who are in the world, for you direction will come. Light will arise for you. This is the way to go. Walk in it. You will hear his voice very clearly. And you'll be led into supernatural associations. And where mercy is waiting, your eyes will see it. Where favor is resting, your ears will hear of it. You know exactly what to do. There will be no lack in your household. There will be abundance all the way. For the Father will ensure that his own are well catered for. Is it not written? He that does not take care of his own and of his own household is worse than an infidel. But your Father is good and is kind and his mercy endures forever. So he makes provision in abundance. There's nothing lacking unto you that walk in the light of his word. Let his truth be your shield and your buckler. It will preserve you in the days ahead, and your experiences shall be of one who is fat and flourishing in the courts of the Father. Oh, we give praise. We exalt you. We exalt you. We exalt you. We exalt you. Thank you.